morning, Dr. Green. I'm really happy that you are able to take some time out of your busy schedule today to let me talk to you about your office practice. I know you are part of the initiative to adopt electronic health records, and my job as a member of the Regional Extension Center is to come out and help to bring this system to life. And part of what I need to do then is to spend some time with you and your colleagues and try to determine what your needs are and how we can work together to best help you successfully implement an EHR in your office.
Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to talking with you. I'm a little nervous about these systems because I hear from some of my friends they can really be extremely disruptive to the office practice. And if there's anything we can do to make that easier, I'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you first is that there probably is some truth to that. Bringing an electronic health record into your office is going to require some degree of change. And so a lot of times we say with these particular efforts is that, you know, some of it is technologic, but a lot of it is just, it's social. It's the people part that sometimes gives us the challenge. So, you know, my team is here to work with you as best we can and help us to make this as least disruptive to your office and to your patients as possible. There's an awful lot to do. So I think what we're going to start with today will be just a component of the user needs analysis, which would actually be in analysis of something we call the provider visit. Today, I think we're just going to talk about patient flow, and I want you to help me understand how a patient comes in, processes through your office, sees the provider, takes care of the information, and pays the bill, schedules an appointment, and goes out the door. So how does that sound like a decent start for today?
Yep, sounds fine.
All right, let's play sort of an imagination game here, and I will actually come and verify this later by observing to see how close we actually come to reality. And being a patient, I can say that I have a reasonable idea of what happens when I walk into my doctor's office. So let me just start off by saying I know when I walk into my doctor's office, I check in. So usually I walk to the desk and I do something. Is that similar to what happens in your office?
Yes, it is. When somebody comes in, if it's the first time, we need to verify who they are, their name and address, and get a copy of their insurance, and also then contact the insurance, get a quick verification that they're covered. And we need to give them some of the HIPAA forms that we're required to give them.
The name and address, do they write that on a piece of paper or do you have a standardized form?
At the present time, we give them a clipboard with lots of papers on it and they fill it out. We try and send that to them ahead of time if we can so that they don't have to spend the time in the office doing it. But they fill that out and then we file that in the record and enter it into our patient management system.
I got it. Okay. And how do you actually go about, so I heard you say you collect sort of their general information about their name and their address, and then you get a copy of their insurance card. How do you actually verify their insurance? Do you do that online or do you call or what?
Our patient management system does that when we enter the insurance number. It
got
does
it.
A quick check.
Okay, very good. So then you do have a patient management system.
Yes. Yeah, we've had that for a long time.
Okay. And I will be looking at that patient management system because I'd like to see how that interacts with your current process. So I may come back and ask you more questions about that.
Okay. Yeah, and one of the things we're concerned about in our selection of an EHR is we really like the patient management system. We've been using it for a long time. We want to make sure that we don't have to double entry the things, but that the two systems will work together okay.
Okay. All right. I will make a note of that. That's actually very important. An important thing to remember is that Yeah, we don't want to encourage a double data entry for the obvious reason that it's inefficient, but also encourages error. So we will work with you to see how we can enable a one-time entry of data. Okay, so now the patient has registered. I suppose they go sit down and wait to be called. Is that correct?
Yes, that's usually the case. We also have them update the information if they've been here before, or give us the information about what's been happening recently, any of the symptoms or signs.
Okay, and so that's actually all handled by your reception clerk or your check-in person, whoever is sitting at the desk.
They make sure that the person has the clipboard and the forms to fill out.
Right, and what happens if that patient is unable to fill out that information on their own? Maybe they have a vision problem, or they are English is a second language, or
we do the best we can. If the our clerk will work with them, if a family member is there, we ask the family member to help them out. Obviously, it's important to accommodate whatever limitations the patient has.
Okay. And then I also heard you say that you try to, at least in advance, mail them these forms so that they can actually fill them out at home and bring them in.
If they're a new patient. Yes.
If they're a new patient. So if they bring that data in, how is that processed? Is it sort of reviewed with them, or does the reception clerk just take it and enter it into your system?
Well, again, we don't have a system that has that information, so they just check to see if the forms are there and clip it to the chart, and I'm the one that reviews that information with the patient.
Okay, got it. Very good. Do you collect copays at check-in?
We do that at the time that they are have finished the visit.
Okay, so you collect that at the end.
Yes.
So what would you do if you had a patient who came in who was very delinquent on a bill or a payment? Would the person at the desk actually see that, or would they need to see that, or is that not relevant?
That's something that that I don't put on the shoulders of my clerk. That's something that I would take up with the person. So I don't ask my clerks to have to deal with that.
Very good. But I would suppose, would you expect your clerk to let you know of that issue?
Yes,
then,
they do see it on the system, and they flag it very discreetly on the information that comes to me.
Very good. Okay. So if you're back in the back with in your exam rooms, how do you know that your next patient has arrived?
The chart is pulled and it's put in a little bin. And the nurse can see it down the hallway and knows that there's a new patient that's checking in.
All right, very good. Now, so that was just the simple part of figuring out what happens during the check-in process. Do you feel like I will be coming back to observe this, of course? I'm going to take a note. This will inform me as I come in and actually observe the check-in process. But do you think there's anything on here I might have missed?
No, I think that covers the basics.
Okay. Well, do you, let me think, do you ever offer any kind of education in your office? Like when I go into my doctor's office, sometimes they have that little CD player and it plays something about you and your diabetes or something. I was just curious if you have any sort of educational intervention that you use prior?
No, not right now.
Okay. So coming back to talking about this check-in process, are there any aspects of this that you wish went more smoothly or more efficiently just in the check-in process?
Well, I understand that there's this push to get rid of the clipboard. I can understand that. I don't like having to fill it out all the time either. So I want to see how we can make it easier for the people coming in so that they can either do it at home or, I can get the information. But it's not something that's at the last minute. And I do want to, have up-to-date information. And my understanding is the systems out there don't yet talk to one another, so I may not get it electronically. So I just want to make it easier for them. I think that's one thing that I'd like them to get out of my having the system.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, thank you. I've made a note of that. So then who actually escorts the patient back to the exam room? Is it you? Is it a nurse? Is it a medical assistant? Is it the reception clerk or somebody else?
The nurse takes a chart and walks the patient back, takes vital signs, and looks over the sheets about the symptoms that the patient might be having, and help to clarify, alert me if there's anything happening acutely so that I could come in if I need to do that.
Okay. And does the nurse record that data?
He records it in the chart, so we mm-hmm. leave the patient's information. I may make some notes on it, but the nurse enters the vital signs and may make a brief note there
okay.
for some things that I should pay attention to.
All right. And how, if something has changed with that patient, how does your nurse communicate that information to you? Does he just write it on the record and hope you find it, or does he pull you aside? Does he use a sticky note?
He makes just a brief note, and we have a little sticky that they put on if I need to actually talk to him. Otherwise, I review the note before I walk in to see the patient.
I see.
And that works most of the time.
Okay.
But if there's something more detailed, then they'll put a little sticky on there, mm-hmm. and I just know I remove the sticky and then I go see them.
Okay, very good. And so just, if you can, just tell me about some of the information that is gathered before you actually see this patient. So not only the vital signs, but what other sort of information do you gather?
Well, if it's the nurse, they do the vital signs and they just check on the medications and see if there are any new medications that have been done, but the rest of the things I do myself. To me, to hear how, if there's a problem, how the patient describes it, and I always like to check other things, allergies or whatever, before I do any prescribing.
Okay. Do your patients in general have any tests done before you come in to see them?
Not usually. If it's a patient with a chronic condition, I may arrange for them to have a lab test before I see them, if it's something that I need to follow regularly. But for the most part, I wait because I may have to order some tests, or whether I need the mm-hmm. EKG or urine or other kinds of tests. I usually wait till after I've examined them.
Okay, I see. So you said you may order some lab tests. So do you do any of these sort of lab tests in your office, like a quick cholesterol check or a sugar check or something of that nature?
No, the most we do is a quick urine mm-hmm. Test, but the rest of the lab tests we don't do any. We do the EKG in our office.
Okay.
But again, that's usually done after I see them.
Right. And that data from the EKG is, do you actually do the EKG, or does one of your colleagues do the EKG?
The nurse will do the EKG, and then I'll get the results before the patient walks out.
Okay. All right. If there is an EKG that is done and it is markedly abnormal from your nurse's point of view, how does he communicate that to you?
He brings it right to me, and I'll look at it and do whatever is necessary at that point.
Okay. Let's see. Do you have forms that are specific to a particular type of visit? So maybe a guideline for the things that you want to check if your patient is diabetic or if they are a congestive heart failure patient. Do you have any sort of forms that are specific to a particular type of visit?
Nope, just have a plain sheet of paper. I know in my head the things that I want to do.
Okay, and so then you hand write all of those things.
Yep, some quick notes. In it for years.
Would there be any benefit to giving you some sort of a structure that you could follow?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I've forgotten to ask something, and so I could see that that would be useful to have to make sure that I don't overlook.
After your nurse checks your patient in and the patient is sitting in the room waiting for you, how do you know that the patient is ready for you to go in and see them?
He takes the chart and sticks it in a little box outside of the exam room.
But isn't that where it goes when the patient walks back with the clerk or the nurse?
The nurse sees the chart at the end of the hall, then goes and picks that up, calls the patient, walks the patient back, takes the vital signs, and then puts it in the, after they've done all that they need to do and get them settled in the room, then they put it in that box outside of the exam room.
Okay, so that's sort of like a visual cue then.
Yep, just a flag, okay. And so I've got a couple of exam rooms so I can have them lined up.
Just a few more questions. So when you go in, you walk into that room, I suppose you pull the chart out of the clipboard, out of the little pocket on the door. Do you, before you actually walk into the room, before you open that door, do you review any of that information, or are you one of the docs who likes to grab it, open the door, and read the information in front of the patient?
No, I because it may have that little flag or something, I look at it briefly and look at the notes that the nurse has made, glance over the forms that the patients filled out that day, and actually I'll look back at my last note or two to see what we've been following and whether there's something that I wanted to follow up today.
Okay. And is there...
And then I'll open the door.
And then you'll open the door. Okay, very good. So you do a review before you go in. And I know in theory we would all love to take, 20 minutes to review everything very thoroughly, but I also understand that may not be reality. So if you had to say which five pieces of data you think are most critically important before you walk into a patient's room, what do you think those would be?
Now, you're talking about what I do today or what I want to see when I get the system in?
What you're doing right now. And then when we're finished this section, I'm going to ask you a similar question that I asked the last time. How could it be better? So let's do right now about what do you actually look at before you go in the room.
So I look at the vital signs. So I have a lot of patients with hypertension. I want to see, how they're doing, and I'll glance at the last couple to see whether it's, been reasonably controlled or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look at what the nurse indicates, if there's anything that I need to pay special attention to. Mm-hmm. And I look at the sheet that the patient has filled out and see if there's something new that, at least as I can remember from before, whether they've marked something new that's happening, especially if they've been hospitalized or have a new condition or something or a new medication. And then the last thing is I'll look at the last note or two to see if there's something I had indicated that I wanted to remember or remember to do.
Okay. Well, when I come back and we actually do an observation to watch as you do this, I'm going to ask you that question again.
Okay.
Because a lot of times it changes based, I guess, on the patient and how harried you are and if there's something peculiar about that one patient you really want to look at. So I do understand that, that was sort of a tough question to ask because it's probably quite variable. When you are going to look, so say if you're going to review their vital signs over time, the last three or four, maybe their blood sugars or their hemoglobin A1Cs, how would you actually find that information to review backwards? Is it all in the chart?
Well, it's in the chart. I have to flip, back through several pieces of paper to see the blood pressure, for example, or go to where I put the lab tests and where I file them and have to flip through the last several to see what's been going on. I try and circle the ones that I'm most concerned about so my eye can go to those marks that I've made, pay attention to something.
Okay. And what do you do when you open up the record, the paper record, and you ordered a test, but you don't see the result there yet?
That's a little harder. If it's one that I knew was important, then I'll ask my clerk to check and see whether it had come in and just didn't get filed. Mm-hmm. If it's one that I was waiting for, that may be something where I've made a note previously, and the nurse, when he before he puts the chart up, would go back and see if they can call over and get the result if it was supposed to be there. But if that wasn't picked up, sometimes it can kind of delay things, and the person has to sit there while we check and see if we can get it. The other part is trying to find out whether the first thing actually is that the nurse checks with the patient to see if they actually got it done, because there may have been something where they weren't able to make it or couldn't afford it, and we've had some patients tell us that. But if it was done and we don't have the result, then we have to make a couple phone calls and see what we can find out.
And do you maintain within your charts a medication list and a diagnoses list and a problem list?
Some of these new regulations that have come out have made it a little bit more painful. So we're talking about getting some of these forms that make it a little bit easier. But I have a sheet that's the problem list that I keep up to date, and we have one page that has the medicines, and we kind of scratch it out and add the list to it. So we try and keep that up to date, and that's what the nurse tries to see if there's a new one there or has stopped one.
Okay. So you don't get any sort of communiques from maybe a pharmacy or any other method of obtaining information related to prescriptions or medications that have been ordered, like, say, from another provider? Do you have any interchange between your general practice and the cardiology practice down the road?
They'll send me a note periodically, but I don't get one after every visit. And things can change, and there are other doctors that the patient sees that aren't as diligent about that. So I have to assume that I ask about it each time anyhow.
Yeah, okay. All right. And how do you actually record the charges and the diagnoses for this one visit?
I have one of those super bills, and I check off the diagnoses of the procedures and the tests that I want to get, and attach it, and the patient at the end takes that back to the clerk at the time of checkout.
So do you give any patient education handouts during your visit?
I do. Actually, I mark that on the super bill or write it for my clerk to hand them. We have a set of materials that we have for the most common conditions, and I try and keep track of which ones I've given them. But especially for people with new conditions or new patients to me, I try and make sure that they get that material.
If you have a patient who needs to get an immunization or ear irrigation or something, do you provide that service, or does your office nurse do that?
The nurse does that.
Okay. And so I will speak with the nurse, too, to see about their documentation needs and how they actually go about doing that. I just wanted to know whether it was you that did that or someone else. So if your patient then says that they need a referral, how do you actually go about helping the patient to obtain those services?
Usually I just take out my prescription pad and I write a little note. And if I know of somebody, I'll recommend that. But it'll be on a prescription pad saying that they need this referral. And that's usually been good enough. There are some, depending on their insurance, they have to have a little bit more information. And I have a referral form that I have in the exam room, and I'll go ahead and fill that out. And
Do you make a copy of that prescription or that referral form, or how do you remember what you ordered?
I make a little note for the referral. I'll just jot a line in my progress note that I've done that. And if there's a referral form, I'll actually have my clerk at the time that they're leaving make a copy, so I have a copy.
All right. So thinking about when you're actually sitting there and you're seeing the patient, how could this be better? What is it that, you know, you're maybe hoping that we can do with the integration of an EHR into your practice? How could this be better, or what do you anticipate will be better?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to go through making a lot of changes in how I interact. So it really needs to be worth it to me and to the patient. And so, you know, I want this to, you know, be easier. When I'm writing prescriptions, I don't want to have to write them all out and then document them in the chart and all that other stuff. I want to be able to refill them if they're refilled and easily enter something in. And I'd really like to know whether they got filled, so hopefully the pharmacy can get back to me when it's there. And a lot of the patients are on things chronically, and it's such a pain. I know for my family members who have some chronic conditions, when the doctor gives them a prescription and you have to mail it into the mail order place, you know, it's just, you never get around to it. So I'd really like to have that electronic connection and relieve patients of that paperwork. And also I know that it's going there, and hopefully they'll go ahead and get it. And the lab results. I mean, handling that and being able to see a graph so that I'm not trying to flip through and see, you know, miss a trend or something that's going on. I think if this darn stuff works, you know, it actually, you know, might make it a little bit easier for me. But I know that I'm probably going to have to make longer notes than I make now. But
well, how about just out of curiosity, because I would just like to know sort of your opinion on this. It will make a difference to my job as someone who is charged with helping you to implement EHR in your office. I mean, we know that this will be, as you said earlier, disruptive, at least initially, and it does require a lot of change. But for you personally, if we were to suggest that a system that helped you to follow like a standard guideline for care of a diabetic patient in here, but I know that there are certain either insurance companies or quality organizations that want you to follow a standard way of caring for a patient. And in my experience in other doctors' offices, I've had a little bit of pushback.
Well, you know, this business of being told what to do, I'm not real happy about it. But on the other hand, it's just such a pain to have to fight with the insurance companies. And so as long as they're not asking me to do something that I think is ridiculous, I'm willing to do it. But I certainly hope that we don't get into this nonsense where every darn insurance company has a different set of stuff that I'm supposed to follow. You know, it's one thing for, you know, my colleagues who have that expertise to say, here's the thing to do it. But I don't want it to be like that, those darn insurance forms where you had a different variation for every insurance company. So, I'll put up with it. But I used to think that was all cookbook medicine. But in looking at the literature and reading some of the things out there, it really does make a difference. And, you know, I went into medicine to help the people that I'm caring for. So I haven't had the time to, you know, go and try and get those things. But if that could be part of the system, that would be a help. And I know I'm going to have to get used to it. But as long as I have a little bit of flexibility, and, you know, if there's something I really don't agree with, I'd like to be able to not be locked in a rigid way.
Okay. This has given me a nice, at least a start of understanding the patient flow process. So let's finish it out by just talking about the checkout process. So you're done with the patient, then what happens?
They take the chart and the super bill, and if there's a referral form, and they go down to the clerk, and she takes care of doing any of the other things they need to do, and collecting the copay, and also on the super bill, I mark, you know, when I want to see them again, so they make their next appointment. If it's a year out, we found that people tend to forget that, so we send them out a reminder notice about 2 months before and start trying to set up the appointment.
So you're saying if you have a patient that you want to see back in a week or two, you'll write that on the super bill, and that appointment will get made right at that time while
yes.
the patient's
yep.
up front with your receptionist.
Yep. Or 3 months out. But if it gets to 6 months to a year, we have too many no-shows, so we use a little different process for that.
And how was it that you – what was the process again, you said, for 6 months or a year out?
We do a postcard, and if we haven't heard from them, they have a little file system, and they, you know – they, which ones they send out each week, and then if in 2 weeks we haven't heard from them, then we give them a phone call and you know have a system of escalation as we move it from one little folder to another.
Okay, so that sounds like it's all a manual process.
Oh yeah,
and I'm sure I will talk with your receptionist about that because we need to also know how the process could be made easier for them as well. But I'll get to that probably tomorrow.
Yeah, she'd like that because she ends up staying late at night for some of those things.
Well, that actually brings up a good point. Do you get all of your documentation done in the period of time that you have to see a patient?
The notes that I have to make, but then, you know, there's all this paperwork that the insurance companies have and the documentation and the justification and then the calls that come in. So I work late, but that visit's done when the patient leaves. It's all that other stuff with gets in the way. And in fact, it'd be nice if with this system that comes in, I could take care of some of that, whether it's the refills or you know can generate some of the form letters and things to some of the other doctors because you know they want notes from me just like I want notes from them.
Right.
And actually, if I could see their note instead of them having to write another letter, that would save us both some time.
Yeah. Okay. Make note of that. And I'm sure that will come up again. Speaking about that, working with other providers or stuff, who schedules the referrals? I mean, you write the referral that the patient needs a referral. How does the appointment for that referral actually get made? Is that back upon your patient, or does your a receptionist take care of that? Or
no, patients have all you know these crazy schedules, so they need to get with the other office. And if it's one where they need to confirm that there's been pre-approval or referral by us, the patient management system tells me you know what their insurance requires, so the clerk knows whether we just have to notify them. Many of them just having our form is enough, and we just let the patient take care of that.
I see. All right. My last question, then I'll ask you for additional points. What happens with that super bill once it's out of your hand, and I know it would go to the receptionist, and I will get in much deeper with your receptionist, but what actually happens to that super bill? Does she pull it off of the chart, or do you have a separate billing clerk or
actually I had to hire a whole separate person because it's such a pain you know to they then have to enter it into the practice management system, and then when the insurance company bounces it the first time we gotta you know go and put it back in and there's just so much overhead from the system today. Medicine used to be just taking care of patients, and now you got all this paperwork that isn't helping the patient any. It's just all related to the cash flow. And like I say, I even had to hire somebody else just to handle it. I wish that there was some way of automating that so it was a lot easier. But, you know, frankly, I've got my automated practice management system. It handles the billing. So I got to figure out whether this clinical system is, you know, going to be something that is yet another system or somehow can work together and make it a little bit easier.
Well, I think that's a pretty good overview of patient flow process, how they get from in the door to out the door. There's a lot that goes on in between. We'll continue to work on that over the next couple days as I interview you again and I observe and I interview your colleagues and your the other office workers. Going backwards, we covered the checkout process, covered when you see a patient. We covered the process of taking the patient from the waiting area into the exam room And then where we started was talking about the check-in process. Can you just think of anything right off the top of your head you'd like to add?
Occasionally, you know, one of these emergencies comes up, and I'm seeing them, and I got to get them into the hospital, and that's doesn't happen often, but boy, it really disrupts the whole office trying to get the documentation over and make sure that they, you know, that the hospital has what is needed. And so that's, if there's some way to smooth that over, that would certainly ease things up, because boy, it certainly bollocks things up when that happens.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to make a special note of that, because even though I may be here observing for several days trying to finish out this analysis, we may not have the occasion to actually see that happen. So if I let's leave it right now that we will come back and talk about that again, particularly if I don't get the opportunity to witness and observe that and see what the actual sort of domino effect occurs when something unexpected comes into your office day.